Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Jette Christensen, the manager of the Canada West Swine Health Intelligence Network. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Christensen.
Thank you for having the opportunity to talk about our surveillance.
The Canada West Swine Health Intelligence Network has released its report for the fourth quarter of 2022 from October to December. What have been the highlights for the fourth quarter?
For the fourth quarter, we actually did have three conditions to follow up on from the previous quarters. One was a case of Streptococcus aequivirus epidemicus in Alberta, or we usually just say Strep Sue for short. The other one is the ongoing outbreak of porcine epidemic diarrhea, PED, in Manitoba. It's been ongoing since October 2021, so we update on that each quarter. And the last one was Seneca Valley virus. It's a skin syndrome that causes blisters. And we had that come up in the third quarter, and we wanted to follow up on that again. And so in addition to those three conditions that we did follow up on, this quarter we focused on unusual clinical signs that were detected by the practitioners. And they put them in as comments in their quarterly survey that we do. And that brings up a lively discussion at our quarterly calls with these unusual cases, either because they present with different clinical signs than expected, or because it's new organisms that they find in these unusual cases that we don't know very much about. It's really unclear if these new organisms or very rare or uncommon organisms have any role in the disease or what is going on. So that's of interest, of course, to the practitioners to share that experience across the provinces so they can be aware that something new might be happening. I don't say that it is, but it might be happening, but they're just to increase the awareness there.
Looking specifically at Strep Zoo, what has changed and what is the significance of that change?
Well, let's just go back to September 1st, where the new case was detected in Alberta. Prior to that, we've only had five cases in Manitoba, dating back to early 2019, they were detected. And those first five cases have been cleared up. But now we are dealing with this new case in Alberta. It's a 5,000 sow operation. And they first saw high mortality in sows late September going into October. So that is sort of the background. They've been trying to avoid depopulating the entire premises and try to deal with it by feedback procedures and heavy medication. That has been unsuccessful. It seemed to be under control after a couple of months going into early December, seemed to be under control with the treatments. They stopped the treatments and then the mortality came back. Now, this is a really dramatic disease because it causes sudden death in sows. And the reports from the practitioner is that from a sow starts to go off feed and show a little depression until the sow is dead is less than 12 hours. So it's really hard to keep on top of that, because if you're going to cure the sow or get it to survive, you have to get in with early treatment. So you really have to catch sows developing the disease within a few hours of the first onset. This farm has experienced up to over 300 sows dead within the first 4 months. And lately, the reports has been that this high mortality is continuing. So the feedback we got from them was that exposure under treatment from October to December did fail as a control measure. The other experience from that herd is that strep soup is actually a slow-moving disease. It's not going through the entire herd as a wild storm going through. It's sporadic. It's only a few sows at a time, and it also seems to be requiring very close contact, so nose-to-nose contact. But still, with a high mortality, it's a dramatic disease.
What are the recommendations?
The recommendations is to avoid it. everybody should be on the lookout for sudden death in sows. Get the practitioner in, get an early diagnosis. The bad thing about strep soup, apart from the high mortality that it costs the producer, is that it can look very much like African swine fever. So you really need to be on the lookout for sudden death in sows and get your practitioner, your swine practitioner in and evaluate the situation as soon as possible. And if the practitioners come in, then please request an African swine fever rule out test to make sure that it's not African swine fever in the background. You can do that. Producers can ask the practitioner to request an ASF rule out test when they send in material to the laboratories. That would be a really good precaution to take.
What is happening in Manitoba in response to porcine epidemic diarrhea?
Quarter four went very well. The cleanup was processing as expected. The last case in quarter four was late October, so there were no new cases in November and December, and more farms got presumptive negative status. So that was really good. However, in January and February, there's been some high traffic, high risk sites contaminated with PED. So these contaminated places were found with the ongoing surveillance that is supporting the cleanup of PED in Manitoba. So that has heightened the awareness, and it's heightened the demand for good biosecurity for all vehicles that transport pigs. And in addition, there's been three new premises declared infected, and one premises has had its status revoked. So the premise that had the status revoked was a premise that was infected earlier in this outbreak, got presumptive negative status, and now it's clinical again. So that's a real outbreak. But the other three premises have been declared infected only because they now have received recovered pigs. So they're not high risk, but they're just as a precaution declared infected, because we don't know if these recovered pigs will start shedding again. That's a natural progression. As they clean up the nurseries, they need finisher spaces for these recovered nursery pigs. So we expected that to go on for the next couple of months. So in summary, as of February 21st, there were 43 active cases, so active premises that have not yet reached transitional status, the first step towards cleanup. Two of these had sows only, and five were nurseries, and the last 36 had finishers. So it could be farrow to finish, or it could be finishers only. So basically, what we need to convey now is that producers, barn managers, transporters, and veterinarians should note that the number of positive surveillance covers all high-risk, high-traffic premises. So it could be assembly yards, large and small processing plants, holding facilities. And this winter weather, these winter months, it is extremely difficult to clean and control the PED on these high-traffic sites. So assume that they are contaminated. So when you're producers, keep high biosecurity. When you have any vehicles coming from these high traffic places. You should also be on lookout for clinical signs, diarrhea typically with PED. So that's the highlights.
What are we seeing with regards to Seneca Valley virus?
Seneca Valley virus is a virus that only affects pigs. The problem with it is that the clinical picture, the clinical signs, is completely indistinguishable from foot and mouth disease, because both diseases cause us blisters, and they're very similar. So over the last years, Seneca Valley virus has been reported in at least 7 states in the U.S. So it would be South Dakota, Iowa, Minnesota, North Carolina, New Jersey, Illinois, Louisiana, and California. There's other countries that have reported Seneca Valley virus too. Among them are Australia, New Zealand, and Brazil. And lately, there was an interesting case in the UK. This case was first investigated as foot and mouth disease, and it took them a while before they could get tested for Seneca Valley virus. And so this case in the UK turned out not to be foot and mouth disease, but it was positive for Seneca Valley virus. They have no idea where it came from. In Canada, we've also seen Seneca Valley virus. It's been detected at assembly yards in Manitoba and Ontario back as far back as 2016. In 2019, there was also 2 herds in Ontario that had Seneca Valley virus detected. And this summer, in Manitoba, assembly yards again had Seneca Valley virus detected. This summer, that caused a disruption in export of cull sows to the U.S. for slaughter, and that really affected cull sow logistics and movements in all of Western Canada, because a lot of the cull sows go through Manitoba assembly yards to slaughter in the U.S. As a result, there's been a lot of work done by the CVO offices, both in Manitoba and CFIA, and by the Manitoba Pork Council to resolve this situation. And now, as a result, the assembly yards, the affected assembly yards, have had to step up their control measures. So that means that they need to do more surveillance for Seneca Valley virus. They need testing for Seneca Valley virus. There also needs to be export inspections. And basically, if there's blisters, they must prove that it's Seneca Valley virus and not foot and mouth disease. Currently, there's no other trade impacts than that. So as long as the situation remains as it is, we should be okay. However, a lot of Canada's international trade hinges on the fact that BOA, so the World Organization of Animal Health, recognized that Canada is free of foot and mouth disease. That means that every new case of blisters in swine, cattle, sheep, and so on must be investigated by the CFIA. And that's the reason why we really don't want Seneca Valley virus in Canada, because all these new cases of Seneca Valley virus would have to be investigated by CFIA. It's a huge job. So currently, Christian has a small contribution to support the trade with cull sows, and that is our blister model. We started that, building up that blister model with a survey sent out to practitioners, where we ask them whether they have seen blisters, whether they have discussed blisters with their clients, and so forth. And based on those surveys that are now included in the clinical impression survey every quarter, we get some data and we build a model to support that Western Canadian commercial swine premises and small-scale producers are free from viral infectious diseases that cause blisters. And so far, the model has been updated every quarter, and we've reached the level of where we can say that the probability that we are free from these infectious viral vesicular diseases, such as foot and mouth disease and Zika virus, is about 95%, which is very good. Now, the producers can also help build this evidence by calling their swine practitioner if they see blisters. So every time we get a record of awareness of blisters, that will help. You have to be aware that blisters can be caused by many other factors. It's not just foot and mouth disease. It could be environment. It could be bacterial. So don't hesitate to call your practitioner if you see blisters.
What are swine practitioners reporting that is unusual or out of the ordinary?
The last number of quarters, there's been an emphasis on unusual clinical case stories, unusual organisms that practitioners have seen, and that has sort of culminated in the fourth quarter. We have to acknowledge that as soon as we talk about these unusual clinical signs or new organisms, we don't know much about them. So the role of new organisms in the disease presentation is mostly unclear. It's only something where we can say we should look more. The same if we have an unusual clinical presentation of a known disease, something that we've seen before, we don't know exactly what factors have made it unusual. So there's many unknowns in these diseases. So I can mention two examples from the fourth quarter. There was actually three different practices in Manitoba or Alberta that reported that they had seen diarrhea in young pigs, and they found sapovirus with that diarrhea. So the general picture was that young pigs, either suckling piglets or pigs in nurseries, had diarrhea with or without other organisms like rotavirus or E. coli or Clostridia perfringens found at the same time. But we don't know exactly what is going on with that sapovirus. Another case was a herd that was raised without antibiotics, and they had group housing, and they found two unusual diagnoses. One was parainfluenza, so it's a flu-like disease. It looked very much like flu, influenza, in the herd, but the signs were a little bit milder. There was no influenza found in that herd, only parainfluenza. So it's sort of a heads up that if you see flu-like symptoms in or signs in your herd, it could be something else too. The same herd had Streptococcus epidermidis, and it presented exactly like Streptococcus suis. So sudden death, septicemia in that herd, it was very unusual. So again, a heads up that if you see sudden death in piglets in a herd, it could be something else than the usual strep soup. I want to highlight this discussion about unusual clinical presentations and new organisms because it really helps practitioners and other health experts. It goes to the lab. We have people from the lab sitting in on our calls too, to know what's going on in the region, to know if there's something new popping up, and just enables them to be better diagnosticians in the herds.
What are the recommendations at this point?
So the last comment and practical tips I would sort of summarize over all these is that producers should be on the lookout for skin lesions, such as the blisters that we talked about, but also discoloring of the skin. That would be maybe African swine fever. so blue, red colors in the skin or bleeding in general. Be on the lookout for that. Sudden death in any age group. Sudden death among sows is what we saw with the strep pneumoniae epidemicus. Sudden death among young piglets could be strep pneumoniae, or it could be strep pneumoniae equisimilis, so call your vet with any sudden death. Increased diarrhea, that is what we saw with the sapovirus, that is what we see with PED, so that's another clinical sign to be on the lookout for. So if you see any of those clinical signs, you should contact your swine practitioners to investigate and figure out what is going on in the herd.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Thank you very much, Bruce. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk about our findings each quarter.
And thank you very much. Our guest has been Dr. Jette Christensen, the manager of the Canada West Swine Health Intelligence Network. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.